This morning, I want to minister to you a message entitled "Moving Forward, the Distinguishing Factor." Moving forward, the distinguishing factor. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you and I praise you that this morning we have the honor and the privilege to come and allow your word to speak into our lives. I have a keen sense in my spirit that this morning, Lord, that you desire to speak something to us. And it is absolutely crucial that we hear what you are saying today. I pray, Lord, against any distractions, whatever they may be. I pray, Lord, that for a few moments, every person, Lord, will put aside everything else, not only the things that are occupying their minds, but their cell phones. They'll put away, Lord, those distractions, and they'll listen to what you are saying, what you are speaking. Holy Spirit, speak to us today. We believe you are the Spirit of the living God and that you are here in our midst. And we ask that you speak to us today. And we thank you for it, and we anticipate it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. When I was probably 16 years old or so, my brothers and I have an older brother named Wayne and a younger brother named Dale. And we climbed into an old 1969 Ford pickup truck, straight shift. And we were going to go rabbit hunting. Wayne was probably 19 or so. I would have been 16. Dale would have been 15, barely 15. And Wayne got the bright idea to let Dale drive. Dale's barely 15. And we find ourselves on an old, muddy Georgia dirt road. Wayne and I climb in the back with a shotgun. And Wayne tells Dale specifically, he said, "Now listen, all you have to do is just ease along. We're going to take the spotlight and we'll be shining for rabbits. And all you have to do is ease along. And if a car happens to come along, just don't panic. Just ease along. Just move over to one side and just ease along." Now, I'm 16, so I've just started driving myself. This thing has "bad" written all over it from the very beginning. I mean, it just feels like it's going to go bad from the very beginning. We're in the back of the truck. Dale's in the front of the truck. And Dale's loving it, right? Because he's 15. And it's dark, it's at night, and everything is going well. You know, Dale's holding it pretty good. Everything's going well for a while until headlights turn the corner way down at the end of the road. And when headlights turn the corner, now, how many of you know if you've driven a 1969 Ford pickup truck, a 350 straight shift, if you get on the gas at all, you're going to spin those tires in that Georgia mud, right? Dale panics just a little, and when he does, he starts spinning those tires, and Wayne automatically and instinctively says, "Slow, Dale, slow." Dale hears, Wayne says, "Slow, Dale, slow." Dale hears, "Go, Dale, go." Honest, true story. And guns it. Throws us in the back of the truck. Oh, I look up and Georgia mud is flying everywhere. All I see is mud and pine trees. And the harder Dale pushes the gas, the louder Wayne hollows, "Slow, Dale, slow." And the more Dale thinks he's saying, "Go, Dale, go." And the harder he pushes the gas. It gets ugly in a hurry. Mud and pine trees. Me and Wayne are in the back of the truck, and Wayne's hollering. In between hollering, "Slow, Dale, slow," he's hollering, "Pray, Glenn, pray." And I'm saying, "What do you think I'm doing?" And I thought how ironic it is, because here's what I know about 2014. Moving forward, it is absolutely crucial that we hear clearly what God is saying. It is absolutely crucial that we hear what God is saying and what God is speaking to us. And this morning, what I think God is speaking to us is about the distinguishing factor in our life. See, through the entire story of God, there is a theme. It's weaved all the way through. And that theme is this. It is the presence of God that sets the people of God apart, period. You hear me this morning? It is the presence of God that sets the people of God apart, period. The presence of God is what makes moving forward possible. The presence of God is what makes moving forward worthwhile. The presence of God is what is the distinguishing factor. See, God became personally involved in mankind. That's what the whole Christmas story is all about. We just talked about Christmas. We spent an entire season talking about Christmas. The entire Christmas season is about God's presence in our life, about Him being present. The point, that is the point of God coming, is His presence with mankind. It is fascinating because as I looked back, I always spend part of December reflecting. And as I look back at December, at 2013, I was fascinated as I looked through the sermons that I preached, the messages that the Lord has given me. I was fascinated how often the presence of God came up. It just kept coming up, and coming up over and over and over again. And it is what I feel God is saying for the year to come. And I think the reason for that is what I've just said. The distinguishing factor in life is the presence of God. That is the only thing that sets us apart. In fact, I want to hone in on a particular scripture here, and I want to give you some background. Many of you are familiar with it. It is Exodus 33, and in Exodus 33, it's a crucial point. It is an absolutely crucial point in the life of Israel. It is right after the golden calf incident. You remember the golden calf incident? Moses was up on the mountain in the presence of God. As he was there on the mountain, the children of Israel got restless. They commissioned Aaron to make them a golden, to make them an idol. So Aaron collects all the gold and he fashions a golden idol. And God and Moses hear this commotion at the bottom of the hill. You remember the story? God says to Moses, get down there. These people have just gone off on a tangent. And Moses gets down there. And you remember the story. He grinds up the golden calf and actually makes them drink the trimmings of that, or the dust of that, in a drink that he had made. An awful, awful situation, an awful story. At that moment, Moses does something. He goes and he meets personally with God. And Moses says to God, God, you've told us to go forward, to move forward, but you've not shown me who will go with us. And here I believe we find what I think is one of the most important texts in the entire Bible. Now I know you can get in trouble with that when you say this is more important or that's more important. That's not what I'm suggesting here. I'm just telling you this is a crucial scripture in the entire Bible, and I think it has application for you and I this morning. It is Exodus 33, verse 14 and 15. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else? Here it is. What else will distinguish me from your and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? Listen to me, and listen to me well this morning. The principle of that scripture is the principle of today, and that it is the distinguishing factor for the people of God is the presence of God. That is the distinguishing factor. That is the only thing that sets us apart. That is the only thing that makes us different than the world. That is the only thing that is going to be a distinguishing factor. The presence of God. The presence of God is the point of moving forward. It's the whole point of moving forward. The presence of God. And I want to, in fact, let's just rehearse this just for a moment. This idea, this theme is all the way through the whole scripture. Let me just rehearse it just for a moment, and then we'll get back to this particular scripture. Have you ever thought about how much that theme reoccurs over and over and over and over and over again through the Bible? Think about in the garden. Adam and Eve are in the garden. The point of the garden was what? Was God's presence walking with them in the cool of the day. What was it that Adam and Eve looked for all day? They had the freshest fruit there ever was, right? They had the sweetest drink of the coolest and sweetest water there ever was. They lived in a plush garden made by God Himself. They had everything that life could possibly offer, but what they looked forward to was the presence of God coming and walking with them in the cool of the day. It's what they valued, what they desired, what they looked forward to in the cool of the day was the presence of God. You fast forward just a little bit. You have the tragedy of Cain and Abel. Remember where Cain becomes jealous of Abel and kills him. Have you ever read that story closely? Especially the part where Cain and God are talking. God comes, remember, and says, are you your brother's keeper? And I'm sorry, where is your brother? And Cain says, well, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And you remember the exchange there Read carefully sometime, not right now, but go and read carefully sometime Genesis chapter 14, Genesis chapter 4 there, and look very closely. When God sentenced Cain, and he said to them, I'm going to push you out of here. You're going to go into another land. What Cain said to him was this. What Cain's greatest concern, the thing that concerned Cain the most was this, and I'm quoting here, "I will be hidden from your presence." Now think about it for a moment. Cain has just been found guilty of murder of his brother. He has just been told that you will wander through the land. And the thing that bothered Cain the most was not that he was leaving his homeland, was not that that he had murdered his brother. It was not that he had been found guilty and been found out by God. It was that from this point forward, I will be hidden from your presence. Can I tell you something? That if Cain, a murderer who did not know God and did not please God, if he was disturbed at not having the presence of God, how much more should the people of God value the presence of God? Cain, a heathen by all accounts, was disturbed that he might not have the presence of God. Can I tell you something? There is a lesson in that for us, even from a heathen, and it is this: the distinguishing factor, the thing that matters most in life, the thing that counts, is the presence of God. It is valued more than anything else in life. The presence of God, that is the distinguishing factor. You move forward a little bit and you find Moses and the children of Israel here at Exodus 33. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. The tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant, that the story of God's presence is just filled through that. All you have to do is walk through it. God's presence comes and he fills the tabernacle. He hovers over the Ark. The Ark then is what? It is lost to the Philistines. And in the Philistine land, it does what? It topples over the false gods. I'm telling you, the presence of God topples the false gods in this world. You got a battle with a false god, get in the presence of Almighty God. He'll topple the false gods in your life. Amen? The Philistines couldn't stand the presence of God. Well, hello, that ought to tell us something. Right? Philistines couldn't stand the presence of God. They loaded it up and sent it back. Eventually, the ark makes it back. Uriah, remember, touches the ark and he dies. And they've been out of the presence of God for so long, they don't even know what to do with it. Hello. You're not hearing me this morning. They were out of the presence of God so long, they didn't even know what to do with it. They didn't know how to react. God moves. He moves in a powerful way. Uriah tries to steady it. The problem was the ark shouldn't have never been on a cart in the first place. The Ark of the Covenant is made with four gold rings on each corner and golden staffs that are meant to go through those rings, and priests start to carry it on their shoulders. Listen to me. The presence of God is not meant to be pulled around by an ox. The presence of God is meant to be on you and in you. Treat the presence of God with value this morning. They've been out of the presence of God so long, they didn't know what to do with it. So they just set it up at a man's house. He was cool with it, because as long as the presence of God was there, he was blessed. He wasn't sending a message down to David, come and get the ark. No, because as long as the ark was there, he was blessed and his house prospered. That ought to tell us something, church. The presence of God is the most valuable thing in our life. It is the distinguishing factor in life. Eventually, the ark comes back, only to be lost again and lost eternally, lost forever. The temple eventually is destroyed in 70 AD. The Romans come and destroy the temple completely. The presence of God. Then Jesus comes. John 1:1-14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What is Jesus saying there? It's about the presence of God. It's about God Almighty, not sitting on a throne somewhere, but coming and dwelling with men. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. It's about the presence of God. And then in the New Testament, the Spirit comes. Gordon Fee writes, and it's so powerful. He said, the Spirit becomes how God is present on planet Earth. The Spirit dwells in the church, meaning both the community of faith and the heart of the individual. In other words, the presence of God, the Spirit of God, dwells in us collectively as we gather together. That's why we gather together, so that the presence of God will be made manifest in our presence, and His presence abides in the heart of every single individual believer. The Spirit of God is the presence of God, and the presence of God is the return of God dwelling with man, God dwelling in man's place. The presence of God is the distinguishing fact. It follows from Genesis to Revelation and all the way through. The presence of God is the main thing, the main theme of the entire Bible is about God dwelling with man. So then we find Exodus 33 that we mentioned a few moments ago, and I just want to point out two or three words here because I think they are significant to what God is saying to us as we move forward. Two or three words, I just want to point them out to you. One is the word presence. Notice what he says there. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. That word presence is a fascinating word. It literally means the face of God. In this case, because it's saying the presence of God, it is talking about the face of God. Granny Brock, what God is saying here is that I personally will go with you. The word is poneim. In fact, it's an interesting word because it means face, and it suggests face to face. What God was saying to Moses is, my face, my presence will go with you. I personally will go with you. Do you remember this story? We talked about this story early last year. Remember what God said? God said, my angel will go before you, and I'll protect you, and I'll keep all the people from I'll go before you, and I'll clear your enemies out before you. But Moses says, no, God, if your presence doesn't go with us, if your face doesn't go with us, if you personally do not go with us, then Lord, do not send us up from here. Do you understand and realize what Moses was saying? Moses was saying, I'm not content to just live with the blessings of God. I'm not content to just live with the provision of God. I'm not content to just live with the protection of God. I'm not content to just live with the prosperity of God. I need a face-to-face, person-to-person. I need to be in God's presence. I need to hear His voice. I need to hear Him speak into my life. I need to know that He is there, that He is present in my life. Blessings and prosperity come when God's presence comes. But what we value is that face-to-face time with Him. Amen. Can I tell you something? And I believe this with all my heart. Because we are the people of God, I do believe we are blessed. I do believe God is going to continue to bless. We have seen incredible blessings over the last year, and I believe we're going to continue to see incredible blessings. But can I tell you something? The blessings of God can never replace the face of God. The promises of God can never replace the face of God. The prosperity of God can never replace. It didn't for Moses, and it certainly can't for you and I. I want to move forward, but I want to move forward in the presence of Almighty God. It is the thing, the distinguishing factor. Poneim, the face of God. I'm afraid that there's just no easy way to say it. I'm afraid that much of the church today is just simply satisfied with God's blessings. They're just simply satisfied with God's prosperity. I'm not teaching against prosperity. I've just told you God blesses us. He prospers us, and He is going to. But He never meant for us to be satisfied with that. He never meant for that to be the end of our relationship with Him. He never meant for that to be the catch-all, do-all thing. He never meant for that to be the reason that we come to Him. He wanted those that want to meet with Him face to face in His presence. Another word there that jumps out to me as I preach through this, as I read through the scripture, is the word distinguish. If your presence does not go with us, then do not send us up from here, for how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with the people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish us from all the other people on earth? That word, the distinguish, is an interesting word. It means separated. It means made different. It means set apart. Can I tell you something that is disturbing about the 21st century church in America? What is being preached today is something exactly the opposite of that, of set apart, distinguished, made different. What is being preached from many pulpits today is be as much like the world as you can be to win the world. Can I tell you? That just simply is not what the Bible says. I'm not saying we ought to engage the world. Jesus did. He sat with the woman at Samaria, but he didn't become like her. Distinguished, set apart, made different. It is the thing that sets you apart. In fact, it's fascinating because this word actually means to be made marvelous. To be made marvelous or to be made wonderful. Can I tell you something this morning? It is the presence of God that makes you marvelous. It's the presence of God that makes you wonderful. It's fascinating today. I've been doing some reading, some studying for a class that I'm taking. And one of the things, one of the phenomena that's happened in America today is that busyness has actually become the new badge of honor in America. The busier you are, the more important you are. Does this resonate with you? You know what I'm talking about. This resonates with you. Look at my calendar, how full it is. Look at my day timer, how full it is. Right? Look how busy I am. And the busier I are, that must mean the more important I am, because the more people that need me. Busyness has become the new badge of honor in America today. How fascinating that is. Not only busyness, but there's some things about business that are part of the business. This is so warped. It's so upside down. Not only has busyness become the new badge of honor, but leisure and the pursuit of leisure as a form of busyness has become the new badge of honor. That the more we go and the more we do, and listen, I'm not against vacation. I took a vacation. I'm going to take a vacation, right? It's not what I'm talking about here. I'm saying we pursue leisure as though it sets us apart as some important people. We pursue leisure as it's the catch-all, the end-all, the do-all. We pursue leisure as though it's the factor that distinguishes us in life. In fact, one of these studies goes even further than that. It's not just busyness and it's not just leisure, but it is consuming. Consuming. Shopping, buying, spending. The more I shop, the more I buy, the more I spend, the more important I am. My goodness, how we have allowed these false things to replace the presence of God in our lives. Because I'm going to tell you what I do know. And I know it from experience. And I say that sadly. But I think you do too. Busyness is in direct contrast to the presence of God in our lives. That's what Sabbath is supposed to be about. Sabbath is supposed to stop the busyness, stop the pursuit, and listen to Him. That's what sets us apart. That's what distinguishes us. That's what makes us different. It's not busyness, nor is it any of the other gods of this world. Listen, it's not the bank account. It is not the house that I live in or the car that I drive. Right? It is the presence of God that is the distinguishing factor. That's the thing that distinguishes and that sets the people of God apart. The presence of God is the distinguishing factor today in life. Distinguishing factor. He says this. He says, and then how will, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. For how will anyone know that you are pleased with me? I want to deal with something here. Listen to me. Tune in to me. There is a messed up, warped theology going on today that values the blessings of God as the proof that God is pleased with you. It's a messed up, warped theology. And here's why it is. If blessings and prosperity is the thing that proves God is pleased with you, then how do you explain Bill Gates? Who is always ranked as one of the top three richest men in the entire world, and who said, there's not a God, but if there is a God, I'd make a computer to talk with him because I don't have time for it. Prosperity can't be proof that God is pleased with you. Right? It's God's presence is proof that God is pleased with you. In fact, this word pleased actually is the word favor. We hear a lot about favor today, and it also is connected to God's blessing. Can I tell you something? When God comes in his favor, you will be blessed. Blessings will come into your life. We heard testimony about it last week, but you find you are favored not because of the blessings that are there. The blessings are there because God is there. The presence of God. Because let me tell you something about the presence of God. Blessings come and go. Prosperity comes and go. The three gospel writers said that it rusts, the moths eat it, and the thieves steal it. Right? But the presence of God, no man and no being and nothing can take away the presence of God. It outlasts any of these false gods we have. Can I tell you something? Moving forward, I believe the presence of God is the distinguishing factor for the Rock Church. The presence of God is the distinguishing factor for every one of you and for I and me as we move forward. It is the presence of God. That word please there actually means kindness and favor. The presence of God is the distinguishing factor, so much so that Moses said, Lord, if you're not going, I'm not going. If you're not moving forward with us, I'm not moving forward. I'd just as soon stay right here. I just soon camp out right here. It is the presence of God in our lives. And then God says something there in the beginning. God says, my presence will be with you and I will give you, what does it say? Rest. Rest. The word there, rest, means to be settled down. Be settled in. In fact, that's why Jesus said, remember what Jesus said in John the 16th chapter? Jesus said, in this world you have trouble. But do not fear. I have overcome the world. In me, you will have rest. You will have rest. See the presence of God. What we are, what the people of God are seeking is found in the presence of God. That rest that we might have in Him. That rest that we have in Him. See, Moses understood God to be saying that He would personally go with them. Moses understood that his face would go before them. Moses understood that this is what would distinguish them. This is what would prove to the world that they had favor, is that God's presence was there, and in that they would find rest. Can I tell you something? You can pursue business as the badge of honor, and you'll never find rest. You can pursue leisure as the badge of honor, and you'll never find rest. You can pursue consuming as the badge of honor, and you'll never find rest. You can pursue a bank account as the badge of honor, and you'll never find rest. You can pursue another promotion, another position, another title, all you want to, and you'll never find rest. The people of God are meant to rest in the presence of God, and that alone distinguishes them from everybody else on earth. What I want this year for me and for you and for our church collectively is an increased awareness of the presence of God. When we come and we worship together, I want us to sense the presence of God. When we pray with each other, I want us to sense the presence of God. When the word is preached from this pulpit, whether it's me or others that are speaking, I want us to sense the presence of God. When we walk out of this place, I want to know that we're still have a sense that we have been in the presence of God and that He is going with us so we can move forward. Why? Because the presence of God is there. The presence of God. It is the distinguishing factor in life. Nothing else will set you apart. Nothing else will distinguish you. It is the presence of God. See, there are two points. It's fascinating. There are two points about this that are fascinating that are reported to you and I this morning. God promises that His presence will go with us, and in that you can find rest. Can I tell you something? The rest that you are looking for and that I am looking for in 2014 is found in God's presence. I'm not saying that all of life is going to calm down. I am saying that in Him you will find rest. That is the distinguishing factor. Nothing else sets you apart. The presence of God sets you apart. And in the Old Testament, that presence was known by His Spirit. In fact, Fee again says something fascinating here. He says, the Spirit and the presence of God, and I'm quoting here, is an experienced and empowering reality. We talk about the presence of God as though it is something out there, off out there somewhere. The presence of God is not only just meant to be among us as we worship together this morning. Eldonis, it is meant to be in at your desk when you are there in the morning, right? It is meant to be in your classroom when you are studying in the morning. It is meant to be, Woody, at Baytree Barbershop. The presence of God. The presence of God. It's meant to be at the bakery and the gym. It's meant to be at the grocery store. It's meant to be at Martin's. Right? The presence of God. And then he goes on, he says, the presence of God is the key player in all of Christian life. The key player. See, here it is. Here it is in a nutshell. Here's the main point of what I think God is saying to us this morning. The distinguishing factor in life is the presence of God. Therefore, you must value and embrace and rest in His presence above everything else. Above everything else. Pastor, what difference does this make? What difference does this make is the presence of God is the distinguishing factor. It is what says you. Listen, you want to stand out on your job? Now listen, let me get just real practical with it. You want to stand out on your job? Be a man or woman who walks in the presence of God. That they know, the world knows that there's something different. The world knows there's something beyond. The world knows that, no, this is not what I'm used to. This is not what I've seen. And they may not even necessarily like it, but they see it and they have to respect it. Why? Because it's God and not you. It's the presence of God. That's how Daniel was all about the presence of God. And what happened? Daniel, it says, was distinguished high above and beyond all the wise men of the land. Listen, you want to be wiser than the wisest? Get in the presence of God. It'll distinguish you from everything and everybody else on earth. The presence of God. I am not promising you that if you walk in the presence of God, you'll necessarily get the promotion. I can promise you this, that when the guy that works down the assembly line from you, and his daughter, 15-year-old daughter, takes a handful of pills and tries to kill herself, when he comes back to work, you may not get the promotion, but I promise you that he will seek you out and he'll say to you, man, I don't know what you got in your life, but I need it. I thought I had life under control and now I see that life is totally out. What is it in your life? What do I sense? What is going on? And all you say, it's not me, it's the presence of God, and he'll be present in your life if you'll invite him in. And my friend, that's better than any promotion in the world. Amen. Presence of God. And God may promote you on top of that, right? Amen. He did Daniel. You know why he did? So that his name would be glorified and his name would be matter. And even more people then would recognize that it was the presence of God in Daniel's life that exalted him. I believe the presence of God is the distinguishing factor in life. And I believe it's a continuing reality of God's presence. It's not just while we worship together, but it's a continuing reality in God's presence. And only the presence of God, only in the presence of God, can you and I move forward. So what do we do? What do we do with that? I think there are three things. One is, I think we must, again, value the presence of God. We must value the presence of God. Let me tell you what I think that means personally, and then I'll tell you what I think it means corporately. Valuing the presence of God means that you and I as individuals in 2014, now are you ready? Okay. It means we've got to make some decisions about some priorities in our life. You've got to make some decisions about how you're going to spend some time alone with God in prayer and in His Word. Can I just put it bluntly like that? You can't say you value the presence of God and never talk to Him. Are you for real? I can tell Geraldine how much I love her, how much I appreciate her, how much I adore her. I can tell her all that all day long. But sooner or later, I've got to stop the busyness. I've got to stop the pursuit. I've got to stop all the... I've got to close Facebook. That's right. I got to shut down the internet. I got to turn off the TV, and I got to get in her face, and I got to tell her face to face, I love you, I value you, I trust your presence in my life, right? Why would we think we could treat God any less? I said it before, I'm going to say it again. Not because I have anything against Facebook. I'm on Facebook. I think it's a tool. I appreciate the tool that it is. But we need more FaceTime than Facebook. We need some time in God's face and God in our face. We need to be talking to Him face to face. That word panim, presence, means face to face. I need to hear from God face to face. God, what are you saying in my life? What are you speaking in my life? What do you need to correct in my life? What is there that doesn't meet the standard in my life? What is it you want to say in my life? We need more FaceTime than we do Facebook. And it also means, I'm just going to put it practical for you. You can take this as legalistic and religion if you want to. And it's your loss if you do. There it is, straight up. But we need some men and women of God who value the presence of God enough that they will turn off the TV.
Yes.
And get in God's presence.
Yes.
Turn it off. A prophet of the last of a previous generation, David Wilkerson, I considered him a prophet, said TV, and I'm not preaching against TV, I'm just telling you, it robs you of the presence of God if it dominates your life. 40 years ago, he said TV is going to become America's God. He said, in fact, it's already on the way. He was challenged by a younger preacher. Why do you say such a thing? He said, well, think about it. It already has the center of attention in the living room. All the furniture is turned toward the TV. Hello? I had news for you. In a lot of Christians' lives, all the furniture is toward external things. Things other than God. And this is not about TV or Facebook. This is about those things that rob you of the presence of God. And if you and I are going to value the presence of God, we just simply have to push some other things aside. Can I tell you? Listen, newsflash. You may not know this. You may not realize this. Newsflash. There is no more time. You and I are not going to get any more time. What there is all there is. Which means we have to prioritize what we have for the things that are most important in our lives. And we got to shove some things aside, put some things aside, put them in their proper place. Some things may need to be put out of your life entirely. I'll leave that between you and God. But probably in all of our lives, there needs to be some more prioritizing so that I can say like Moses said, Lord, I know your presence. I know the value of it. I know what it means so much that, Lord, when I get up, I know it's Monday morning. I know I got to be at work. But, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with me, then don't even send me to work, Lord, because I need your presence. I know I need to be in class. But, Lord, I can't even go to class unless your presence is with me. I value your presence. And the same thing is true when we worship together corporately. When we worship together corporately. And that is that being together with people, with the community of faith, it is part of your relationship with Christ. Being together with the people of community of faith, it's the Bible that you and I make being together, worshiping together, a priority in our lives. Why? Because that's one of the ways we recognize and embrace God's presence in our lives. It's being together, coming together. Paul talked about it. He said, you, the corporate body, are the body of Christ, the temple of Christ. You as individuals are the temple. You together are the body. Worshiping together, there has to be a priority on coming together and being in God's house with God's people and worshiping together. There has to be some priority in that if we value His presence. The second thing is to embrace His presence. Brother Lawrence said it this way. He says, we embrace the presence of God by talking to Him continually. Now, that's a simple thing, isn't it? but so profound and true. We embrace the presence of God by talking to Him continually. That means there becomes, I believe, for you and I to fully walk in the presence of God and move forward, I think there has to be a sense, Eldonis, that of God is present with us in every situation all day long, so much such that I can have conversation and should have conversation with Him. That means that, yes, when I'm at work, I can talk to God. When I'm shopping, I can talk to God. When I'm at the restaurant, I can talk to God. When I'm talking with my co-workers, I can talk to God. There must be this continual conversation with God. I think one of the reasons many Christians get in trouble is because they don't talk to God. Now, and I don't mean that as in they just let their prayer life lapse. I mean they don't actively, practically, continually, all day long talk to God. Let me see if I can make it real to you. If you talk to God in the midst of that temptation, right? Try this next time. Is this okay? Try this next time. You're sitting there and you're watching that movie and that scene comes on. Try talking to God through the middle of it. And see, I'll guarantee you one or two things is going to happen. The temptation will leave or the conversation will stop. Right? Right? That coworker. This is just real stuff, okay? This is just real stuff. That coworker who would love to sabotage your marriage. Right? That coworker who would love to sabotage your marriage. Do this. In the midst of that temptation, begin a conversation with God. God, I love you, and I love my spouse, and it's the most important thing in my life, and I'm not going to be tempted by that. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to... Listen, you start having a conversation with God, that temptation will leave, my friend. Talk to God. You don't... Listen, talk to Him and do it out loud. I'm serious. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm talking about doing it out loud. Oh, Pat... I had no intention of this going here, but somebody needs to hear this more. Listen, what business do you have worrying about if you offend a slut or not? I don't want to hurt their feelings. Right? Are you kidding me? Jesse Duplantis told one time of being on an airplane. Lady came in, sat down beside him. She had the seat beside him. He's in an airplane now. How many of you ever flown? Close quarters, right? Somebody gets riled up, everybody in the place knows. Comes in, sits, dressed just as slutty. This is his words, just as slutty. She sits down beside him, starts flirting with him. Jesse Duplantis says, he looked at her and started hollering, Jezebel! Right? Guess what they did? They found Jesse another seat. And even if they had kicked him off the plane, he wouldn't have had to ride to Denver beside Jezebel. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about being intentionally offensive. But I am talking about I am talking about being straight up. You know what? That ain't happening here. I'm not that kind of man. I value my wife. I'm not entertaining that. There's no place for that in my life. Right? Calling it out and calling it to a stop. Don't you play with that. Lay your head in Delilah's lap and you will get a haircut. There it is. Buzz cut, my friend. There it is. Now, what does that have to do with the presence of God? I'm telling you, the presence of God is practical. It's real. You can embrace the presence of God in the midst of that. I'm tired of hearing about Christian men being torn up in pornography and Christian women being caught up in all kinds of stuff. I'm tired of losing our children, right? I'm tired of losing our children to drugs and alcohol and everything. I believe the presence of God is real. It is tangible. It is greater than any temptation in the world. Embrace the presence of God. Embrace the presence of God. Can I tell you something, teenagers? Guys, listen to me. Girls, listen to me. This is as relevant and real for you, maybe even more so. Parents, if you don't know it, our schools are a war zone spiritually. Amen. Our public schools are a war zone spiritually. And we need strong men and women of God who have a sense of embrace the presence of God. Go around the halls praying, talking to God. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're here with me today. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to help me today. I thank you, Lord, you're going to help me remember my combination, my locker that I can't never remember. Embrace the prayer. I thank you, Lord, that you're stronger than any temptation I face. I thank you. I thank you that you helped me through this day. I thank you that your spirit is around me. You may not be the most popular person on the campus. But when they need something real, they're going to come find you. When they need something tangible, they're going to come find you. When they need something that will make a difference. Why? Because they see the presence of God in your life and they see that it makes a difference in your life. Is this okay this morning? The presence of God. We have to value it. We have to embrace it. And then the final thing is I think we have to rest in it. I think we have to rest in God's presence. The presence of God is what sets me apart. It's what sets you apart. The presence of God in our lives. He goes with us. In this you can rest. How do you do that, Pastor? You do that by simply as you go along through that, Lord, where are you in the midst of this? I know you're working. I know you're doing something. Can I tell you something? There's not a situation you face that God's not in the midst of it. There's not a thing that you're up against that God's not in the midst of it. There's not a thing in your life that God's not in the midst of it. The presence of God, the power of God in your life, His presence. Ask God, where are you in the midst of this? Can I tell you something? God has you covered. God has you covered. Go find Daniel Gaslin. They're coming? Okay, thank you. God has you covered. In the midst of the situation that you're in, God has you covered. In the midst of what you're facing, God has you covered. You can rest in the midst of that. God said to Moses, my presence will go with you, and you shall find rest. You shall find rest in His presence. You shall find rest. Remember the story of my brothers and I that I started with? About hunting rabbits out of the back of a pickup truck. How ironic, I've thought about it many times since then, how ironic that Wayne was hollering, slow, Dale, slow. Dale heard, go, Dale, go. Push the gas to the metal. Nothing but pine trees and mud. And I thought how ironic that is. Because I think a lot of times in our life, God's saying the same thing. I think God's saying, slow, Glenn, slow. Slow down enough to listen to my voice. Slow down enough to embrace my face. Slow down enough to hear what I'm saying in your life. Then when you get up from there, you can go, right? You can go. You will go forth. You will indeed defeat a troop and leap over a wall. You will fight great victories and win great battles. And I think the first part is to slow. Slow, Glenn, slow. The point of that is to embrace His presence, to value His presence, and to rest in His presence in our lives. Can I tell you something? The distinguishing factor. As we move forward in 2014, I don't know how many of you reflected on it. We've seen unbelievable things in the last year. Jose's back here, from the donation of the kidney to Jose, through to just miracle after miracle after miracle. The miracle in Judy's life, the miracle in Kevin's life, the miracle in Rebecca's life. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on and on and on. I'm talking about real miracles, tangible miracles. I believe more is in store for 2014. But I think it's going to come as we get, enter, embrace, rest in, and value the presence of God in our lives. And I don't think it's just going to be a church thing either. I think you're going to be coming and saying, Pastor, you won't believe what happened at work today. Pastor, you won't believe what happened in school today. Pastor, you won't believe what happened when I was running my route today. You won't believe what happened when I was sitting at my desk today. You won't believe what happened. It'll be because of the presence of God in our lives. Here's what I believe. I believe God wants to distinguish His people, you and I, with His presence. And in that presence, we will find rest and we will find favor, just as He told Moses, His presence in our lives. So here's how I want to close this one. I want us to come down together. I know we did this last Sunday. I want us to do it again this Sunday. We ended the year this way. I want us to start the year this way. And I'm going to, as we come down, we're going to, the praise team's just going to lead us in the course just for a moment. As to do, I want to pray a prayer over all of us collectively about the presence of God in our lives. I believe 2014, I do believe, listen, the best is yet to come is not a slogan. It's a promise of God. It's not a slogan. It's not a chant. It's the promise of God. The best is yet to come, and it is found in His presence. As the praise team starts to lead us, we'll just come down. I want everybody to come down and stand together this morning so we can pray together. As we stand around this altar, Lord, we are the people of God in Your presence. And as we go forth from here, You said we are the temple of God, that the Holy Spirit lives within us, and so we go in Your presence. My prayer this morning, Lord, is that we will do those things that are necessary, Lord, to increase the awareness of Your presence in our life. That, Lord, that You will give us the discernment and the insight to prioritize our life so that we are more aware of Your presence. Lord, to make the decisions in life, Lord, that we will have a greater value of Your presence, Lord. To have a place in life, Lord, where we, that, Lord, that where the presence of God becomes the distinguishing factor, so that we pursue it, Lord, and pursue You with everything in our hearts and everything in our lives, Lord. Lord, around this altar, I know, right now, Lord, I know there are men and women around this altar, Lord, that this year, Lord, You have destined to do incredible, phenomenal things. You have destined them, Lord, to take territories that they've never taken before. Lord, You have destined them to start new businesses, to launch out in new ministries, God, to gain more education, Lord, to have ministries to blossom and flourish, Lord. You've destined people around this altar to pray for individuals and them be healed. Lord, to witness to individuals and them be redeemed. To speak of Your goodness and people be delivered, Lord, from life's bondages, Lord. You've destined people around this altar, Lord, to do that. You've destined some, Lord, to exalt them to new places, higher heights, Lord. New things, Lord, that they've never seen before. But all of that, Lord, is accomplished through Your presence and by Your presence, Lord. So we say as Moses did, Lord, let Your presence go with us. Let Your presence go with us. Otherwise, Lord, don't send us from here. And we thank You for the response that we hear in Your word, that Your presence will go with us, and in that we shall find rest. I thank You, Lord. There are greater things that are to come because, Lord, of Your presence in our lives. Lord, I pray that marriages will be healed because of Your presence. I pray that relationships will be mended because of Your presence, Lord. I pray, Lord, that those, Lord, that are seeing financial bondages, Lord, that as they spend time in Your presence, You, God, are going to give them wisdom and discernment and discipline, Lord, and blessing, Lord, to bring those financial things under control. I thank You for that, God. I thank You, Lord, that there are individuals here this morning, God. Ministries are going to explode. You have incredible ministries, Lord. You're going to do incredible things, Lord. Lord, it's beginning all because of Your presence, and I thank You for that. And I pray for special anointing on the lives of the individuals that are here this morning. God, I pray that we will have a sense of Your presence, not just as some idea, but as a reality as we walk through life, work our jobs, interact with our families. Lord, I thank You for Your presence. And Lord, may we end this next year with looking back and saying, hasn't it been good to be in God's presence? Look what God has done. We thank you for the miracles that are to come. We thank you that you are going to receive the glory for all of it. Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I'm going to leave you this one challenge. This one challenge. It's in his presence. What you are, listen, and I mean everything, it's found in his presence. That answer to that prayer, it's found in his presence. That decision that you're making is found in his presence. That success in that business, it is found in his presence. That relationship mended, it is found in his presence. That victory over temptation, over bondages, it's found in his presence. It is found in his presence. It's found in his presence. And the word that keeps coming over and over and over again, including in the word that was just spoken, is that busyness, which says to me that you and I, if there's one challenge that we walk out of here with, it is this: in 2014, we need to prioritize his presence. Prioritize his presence above everything else. Because in his presence, you'll find the answers that you need and the rest that you need. And, it says, and walk in his favor. I want to walk in his favor this year. Amen. We do that by being in his presence. Be in his presence. I believe it's because of who he is this morning that we can put value in his presence. And as God's speaking into our hearts this morning, let him speak this to you. To your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Before I dismiss you, I want to emphasize to you again, the most important thing you can do this year is spend time in his presence. In his presence, he will unfold for you what he's going to do. And he has some incredible things that he's going to do. Prioritize his presence this year. And you'll see, you will see the plan and the purpose of God unfold. Amen? Amen. Please be here Wednesday night. As we begin, we restart our discussion on Romans, the Royal Rangers, girls' ministry, the youth. Please be here as we restart it. Until I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. I love you this morning. Hallelujah. What a great way to start 2014.
Hallelujah.